from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Who was it?
Raiders.
K-Rex.
The Cowboys were
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What is good? Welcome in here to the Tuesday, July 23rd edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He is the Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Man, and we're happy that you're here with us. Shout out to Amari Cooper.
Good for him.
I laughed when Amari Cooper signed this deal with the Cleveland Browns. Because it was essentially, Amari signed a $100 million deal. It was basically like a series of $10 million deals with like opt-outs like every year. He basically signed a year-to-year contract that the team just got decided whether he played year-to-year. And then there were certain years that were guaranteed more money than others. And the $100 million is going to turn out to be like 80. I honestly thought it would wind up being like 20.
Did he sign the same type of deal with the Cowboys? Or wasn't it like a 2-year something deal?
Well, yeah, it was a 2-real-year deal. Mm. But ultimately, I think what he signed with the Cowboys was like a 4-year deal. Mm. And Cowboys got out of it. And he went to Cleveland, I think, right away. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was a team in between. Are you sure this is on these?
Well, that's why I asked the question, where is he playing at again? I think it is just 3 teams. I think okay. The Browns is the third.
Yeah, it's only been 3.
Okay. Feels like he's been in the league an eternity when he very much has not.
He was drafted in 2011.
Oh God. I hope not. No, he was drafted in 2015.
Well, that's only 4 years off.
Give him a loss.
No, that's
the hell no. What even no music played?
Well, I mean, we could start the show. We could start the show with Amari Cooper pocket watching.
Has he made all real money?
Yeah, do we only count his guarantees with this?
5 years. Okay, let me take a quick look at SpotTrack, because SpotTrack normally doesn't give you the fake dollars. There's the restructure. Let's look. Oh, why doesn't SpotTrack? Wait a minute. The hell?
Wait a minute.
Stand by. Wait a minute. They don't even.
$30 hadn't gone through yet? We don't have access to NFL?
Well, that $30 is never going through. I can't get anything past the Cowboys. Here. Sorry. We're up here. There we go. There are the Raiders. Let's see. 20.
Yeah, I don't think this is working.
I can't tell what's real. See, it doesn't.
We're just the pocket pocket watches to NBA players.
I was about
players.
To win that one.
It doesn't add up.
Nah,
I can't make this add up. 2020.
About to get buckets out here, man. And they was like, nah, 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 let's not play. See how they do me, y'all. Y'all see how they do me? They knew I was about to win. They saw the look in my eyes.
Well, hey,
man.
Well, let's go. Let's do it.
Well,
let's do it.
Let's do what we got here. No, turn the music off.
Let's do what we got here.
You already said it wasn't official.
Let's do what we got here.
See how they do me? I was training. And now they said fight's off. And now I stopped training. Yeah, now they want me to get back in the ring.
Are we going just the total contract guarantees? What are we doing here?
Well, I'm just mathing this myself. No, that equals. So you got here. This is carry the one over here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, we'll do total.
Total up until this point?
That's yeah, the only total way up until this point. NFL. 2015. Yeah, we'll do totals up to this point. This works. This is real money. This is real money. The most he earned in a single season, if anybody can remember the year 2020, it was a shade over. Now, keep in mind with the news that you saw today, because it does appear. No, that's not factored in. The news we got today isn't factored in. Spot track is fast. They're not that fast. It's a shade over $20 million. Amari Cooper been in the league, as Kenny Caraway pointed out, since 2015. He was the number 4 overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft. As Kenny noted, he's played for 3 teams. The Raiders, the Cowboys, and now he has done, at least in my mind, surprisingly well. The Cleveland Browns. We're starting the show with pocket watching. So again, 10 years in the league, the former number 4 overall pick, his peak earnings were in 2020 when he earned just a shade over $20 million.
All right, real quick, we're counting up until this point, just total contract money.
Correct.
Okay, not just guarantees.
Correct.
Okay.
Right now, Kenny Caraway is in the lead at 22-20 with the season finale approaching on August 1st. Will the game on August 1st mean anything? Or will Kenny Caraway have secured his pocket-watching championship? The contestants
what's my
are
record again?
Writing their numbers down. 22 wins and 20 losses, my
cooking.
Friend.
Cooking. I'm cooking. Tell the whole story. I wish you told the whole story. Your boy started 3-12. What a season.
All right, let's see the numbers here, gentlemen. What do we got?
Easy win for your boy.
$148 million, $165 million. $148 milli for Kenny Caraway. $165
million. Yeah.
For Jesse Tapia. Amari Cooper at this point has earned $116 million, $672,334. For his 23rd victory of the season. The first ever Segment 1 pocket watch.
Let's go!
What are his contract numbers then?
Let's go!
The latest contract is 4 and 100, if that's what you mean. He's basically made $20 million, and that'll include this year, every year since 2020. Sir, I'm going to need you to sit down.
Stop playing with me!
Hopefully, Will's busy with SI and he's not graphicing this nonsense. But yeah,
let's go. Zabo is, though. Zabo ain't even in a meeting yet. Let's go.
He's had a pretty solid. Okay. All right. This is why we don't do this segment in the first segment, because now we got to deal with this the rest of the day.
I'm almost to the point where I can clinch.
You're getting there.
What's my magic number?
Bro, I don't know. Will you settle down?
Magic number got to be 3.
That's probably true.
Let's go.
It's probably not far off.
Let's go. What a year. What a season.
But it is 23-20 right now as the end of season 1 approaches on August 1st.
You know, I went a little high there. I originally thought it was like 120 something, because you said 80 million guaranteed. I figured his first rookie deal might have been 40 something.
I thought he might have
got another one in between.
No one needs this explanation of how you would have been within $4 million. Then why didn't you do that?
I thought he might have had another contract.
Now. I did. That's why I slipped up. I gave him a contract with Dallas.
Yeah. See? We didn't think the same way. But I was there. You know what I mean? I was there. And I had to stop training because they said the fight was off. You know what I mean? That's what kind of threw me off, but I still won. Boy, they tried to get your boy again. I ain't let it happen, though. You heard?
You know, the same thing happened to Jesse. And the fight was off for about 4 seconds.
Minor details.
Football's tough. Football is way, way, way
football's
tougher.
Football's insane.
Way, way tougher.
Insane.
Than.
I can't wait to do the pocket watching for Brandon Ayuk, though.
Well, Brandon Ayuk's at camp, and training camp for, I think, 23 NFL teams gets underway today. Brandon Ayuk, surprised?
I am surprised. I am surprised he showed up. I was expecting him.
Optimistic?
I always talk about this damn podcast, but it was a pivotal moment in understanding Brandon Ayuk. I believed him when the reports came out last week that he was willing to he was going to ride this thing out. Like, I'll sit out. I'll take fines. I'll miss games. It's whatever. I believed him. I didn't think that was the right thing to do, but he comes off as a guy that's about the principality of the situation, Smokey, and I believed that he might be able to go through with that. So I was a little surprised that he showed up. I think that's the right decision mm-hmm. for him to show up. Now, he doesn't have to participate, and he can be a hold in. They didn't have to participate in all this stuff like that. But as a sign of good faith and goodwill, hey, I'm here. I've reported to camp. I'm eliminating a little bit of the distractions. Now, you guys, talking about the San Francisco 49ers, you come meet me a little bit halfway, too. You know what I mean? I think that would be the right thing. If they haven't had any contract negotiations, come to the table, 49ers. The guy's at camp, even if he's not quote-unquote participating and he's a hold-in, he's there. Negotiate with the man and figure something out.
I'm with you. I think this was a positive step for sure for Brandon Ayuk. I'm with you. One that I did not think he was going to make. But I think this was 100% the right way to handle this because I don't think he's being traded. I don't think Brandon Ayuk is playing anywhere other than the San Francisco 49ers.
I agree.
John Lynch has said as much. We intend on Brandon Ayuk being a San Francisco 49er. Now, the language in that is smart on John Lynch's part because that could just mean for this year.
Mm-hmm.
That may not have anything to do with the following seasons, but I do believe that their intent is for Brandon Ayuk to be a San Francisco 49er. And I think this was definitely a positive step for Brandon Ayuk. I think it's good for the 49ers. I think it's good in a season with such incredibly high stakes for the franchise to not start with any distractions. I think Brandon Ayuk being at camp in the midst of a negotiation is not a distraction. Mm. Brandon Ayuk being absent from camp in the midst of a negotiation, especially one that at least on one side has been a bit contentious, mm-hmm. is a distraction.
Yeah.
So this is a good step for Brandon Ayuk for sure. But in my opinion, it's an even better step for the San Francisco 49ers.
I agree 100%. Yes, indeed.
So we're just getting started. We'll talk a lot more about the San Francisco 49ers as we roll along. We'll talk some Kings basketball as well. Trista Crick. Oh, Trist,
as they call her.
I think Mace called her Tristan once, and Cam was like, it's Trista. And then he just went with Tris after that.
That's a good point that you make there. I didn't really think about it that way.
His meaning my co-host de facto response is to slip into an impersonation of somebody. Like he did that yesterday when Mace's name came up and we weren't on the air. He slips into like an impression of someone. Like it's just I don't know. It's a weird personality mechanism that our guy has. But Trista will be with us. Jason Jones will be with us. We'll talk training camps. We'll talk Kings. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll talk about what you want to hear. We're here for you. It's Steelo and KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
916-909-1320 if you want to get in on the conversation, which we haven't started. We started with pocket watching and impersonation. So that's where we are on this Tuesday. But
I'm not going to lie, that loss kind of hurt because I did give him an extra contract with the Cowboys. If I didn't, I would have got that dub.
But it feels like, and that was the thing, it feels like Amari Cooper's been in the league a really, really, really long time. And it's probably just because he's been a solid wide receiver. And
he's Hall of very good.
Yeah. Like, that's legit.
He's been really good. Do we think he's lived up to? I don't want to say the hype. You wouldn't like overhype, but
he's the number four overall pick. That's a pretty big.
To go as a wide receiver, yeah, for sure.
He's low key Andrew Wiggins, but a better career.
That's a good call.
Like he's a little had more impact, but yeah.
Although people kind of sleep on Andrew Wiggins' career, like they talk about the impact, but. I don't know if he still is, but at one point he was like a 20-point-per-game scorer for his
career. I think the best and the worst thing that happened to him was going to Golden State. Like, he had the moment, against Boston, right? But, you're under a microscope with that group. And when you're on a team that's expected to win a title or be in contention for a championship year after year after year, man, that microscope is tough. Yeah. And I don't think we've ever really got to – you know, when we evaluated Andrew Wiggins as a young player, it was, he's not living up to this, it's this. There's all these different, you know, things that are in play. And it's like, oh, okay, he might be all right. Mm-hmm. And then Golden State and, you know, just kind of the measurement changes a little bit. And he's gotten paid along the way, which I think is a factor too. Like, anytime you get paid and you can pick apart someone's contract for their productivity on the court, that's tough too.
Yeah,
I don't know that I love that comparison, but I don't know how many holes I could poke in it either.
Let's go Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins for his career, 18.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.3 assists.
Okay,
that's a good career.
Absolutely,
that's a really good career. I mean, he's the number one overall pick. We were outside.
The labels of that draft class were brutal.
Yeah, we were outside for the hype of Andrew Wiggins.
And absolutely.
And maybe he hasn't necessarily matched that. But you look at Amari Cooper, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven 1,000-yard receiving seasons.
And any All Pros?
What was the All Pros looking like? Let me see.
Are you on the stats?
No All Pros. Yeah, no All Pros plus. From what I see.
Okay.
5-time Pro Bowler.
Okay.
That's a good call, yeah, Jesse. He's about Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And okay. We mean that respectfully.
No, I mean, that's fine. He's a good ball player. He's a good ball player, for sure.
Is he a number one receiver?
Today?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Not if you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Was he ever?
Yeah. In Dallas? Well, wait, wasn't he one in Oakland?
In Oakland?
Yeah, in Oakland he was.
In Oakland, 3 of his 4 seasons there, 1,000-yard receiving.
Was he with Dez? It was Dez and Amari, right?
I think Dez was gone.
Oh, was he? Yeah. No, that can't be right.
2019? That's when he was in Dallas.
Hmm.
I think Dez was gone.
Damn.
Dez was gone probably by 20, maybe 14, 15, 16.
Are we talking
about? No. Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
Was it? It couldn't possibly be that long ago, was it?
He was around the time.
Yeah, he was gone in 17. Wow.
I feel like Amari Cooper was always towing that line between like true number one or like, I guess not, I don't want to call him number two, but just that line, you know?
Yeah.
Does Dez get signed by the Saints and tear his Achilles the first practice?
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Wow. Wow.
Dez caught it.
He did, always. Forever, Dez caught it.
Well, he literally didn't. They said it was an incomplete pass.
He literally did, and the referees got it wrong.
Well, I mean, that's the call that was on the field.
You know, if we're revisionist history here, the Cowboys would have had a Super Bowl that year.
True.
Would have been the Cowboys' 9th Super Bowl by my calculations.
They would have found a way to lose that game.
Probably.
That and I ain't even saying the next week. I'm saying that game.
Well, that was the
Packers,
right?
Yeah, divisional round, second round.
Packers.
They wouldn't have made it to the conference championship. History tells me they would have found a way.
Well, part of the history was written after that play, though.
Part of the history has been written since 1997. Haven't made an NFC championship game in that long. So history says they would have found a way to lose and not be in the NFC championship game, let alone the Super Bowl.
They were just bad.
Some of those years they were 13-3 and lost in the first round.
Yeah, that was one. And it wasn't the first round, it was the second round.
The other, yeah, because they had a bye, and the guy went to with Jessica Simpson, you know, and went to Mexico, and didn't work out. The other time, he fumbled the snap with a chance to win
the
field
goal. Why are you attacking Tony Romo?
I'm just talking about the playoff losses.
Okay.
I didn't write history.
Tony Romo wasn't even the full-time quarterback when he stepped in for Drew Bledsoe.
I didn't write history. I'm just talking about what happened.
Okay. Start to the show.
All right, keep clowning my boy Tony Romo.
Look, if it makes you feel better, he ain't the only one that hasn't been able to get him to the NFC Championship game. There's a plethora of quarterbacks that haven't gotten it done in Dallas.
So
he's just one of many.
Yeah, Quincy Carter.
Drew's in there. You mentioned Drew.
Well, there's another one in there, too.
Who's in there? Oh, wow.
Well,
Don't get me started.
So that's the marker, huh? NFC championships?
Well, no, that's just...
the mighty have fallen, huh?
Are they? Did I see this stat? And I'm thinking about it over in my head right now. It could be true. Maybe the Commanders are the other one. They're the only team in that span not to get to a conference championship game. In the NFC.
Commanders definitely haven't. Oh, from 97 to today?
Yeah.
Oh, it's wow. Just those two. I haven't heard that. That's crazy.
The Eagles, the Giants, Saints, Bucks, Panthers, Falcons.
Detroit just did it.
Green Bay did it. Minnesota did it. Chicago did it.
Wow.
That's tough. Don't even read the rest of that. I'm a Dallas fan. I'm turning off the radio,
Chicago
bro.
Chicago went, yeah. Chicago went to the, ugh. Rex Grossman got him there. That's wild. I didn't know that. You said Dallas and the Commanders. That Minnesota, that absolutely checks out. Atlanta, Carolina checks out. San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Arizona.
Even Arizona got
it. Yeah, that all checks out.
Arizona got it twice, I think. Because they went to the
Super Bowl. Well, they went to the Super Bowl.
And then they lost to Carolina in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that all checks out. Ooh. Sorry, Cowboys. Or Commanders.
Look, man.
There's a cool little stat out there, too. Shout out to the Raider fans out there, because I'm in this one, too. It's like, oh, yeah, teams that have had, like, some sort of success since, like, 2000 or whatever. Or, like, 2005 or something like that. And it's like, oh, Jets, playoff win. Like, that's the minimum. And then there's three teams on the bottom. It says nothing. It's the Commanders, it's the Raiders, and it's the Dolphins. No playoff wins, nothing.
Oh, man.
Come on, man. This 2024.
That's tough. You said since 2000?
No, like 2005, because they went to Super Bowl in 2002. I think, yeah, that was like 2005 or some whatever, some weird year.
That's brutal.
The Raiders' last playoff win, I believe, was 2002. I believe.
Well, yeah. It's broken. Oh, that's tough.
Ian might be right. Might be 2003.
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Either way, once you get to 2002, 3, 4, 5, we're talking 20 years at this point.
I was in kindergarten in 2002.
Well, all right. Nobody asked you that.
If anyone was wondering.
No one. Like, literally no one was wondering.
Jesse, a little low-key older than I thought. He said his age last week.
He was in kindergarten in 2002, and your first response is he's older than I thought.
Thank you, Casey. 28? Thank you. Yes.
I thought I knew his age. I forgot his age.
I'm not 22. I'm grown.
He's like 24, 25. He's 28 years old. He's about to be 30.
I actually thought you were like 26.
No. I've been trying to tell you guys the last 4 years.
You're a little older than I thought. I guess just when it comes to us, you're... Your child. Well, that's when Kyle sent us a private message. Hey, guys, I'm going to be off such and such days because my wife's turning 30. All right, man. All right.
Shout out.
I literally work with a bunch of children. I've been telling y'all this for months.
At least we're not sick. That's a good thing.
Our immune system's holding up here. Boy, there.
Last man standing.
Man. Boy, it's the Royal Rumble here at the Odyssey office, and every day we're getting an email about someone who's been thrown over the top rope. Just every day an email goes out. Oh, both feet have touched the floor. There's like five people here today. Now there's five people here for multiple different reasons, but there's about three at home.
Yeah.
Ill.
Yeah. Just trying to make it.
It's picking off the programming department one by one.
Just trying to make it.
If you don't have a broken limb, you have COVID. If you don't have a broken limb or COVID, you're D'Lo and KC.
It's facts.
That's pretty much what it is.
That's what it comes down to, really.
Or you work at ESPN because Kyle and James are healthy. And wow. Yeah, it's an amusing week here at the office.
We here, though. We here.
We here, baby. We here, we here, we here. Training camp's underway. We talked a little bit about, we said it to James, kind of jokingly, but not, talking about, you know, Sasha was a bit of a failure from Monty McNair. And, you know, Jesse posed the question, is Sasha's, Monty McNair's biggest failure? And, you know, of course, James immediately brought up Davion. I don't know why James hates Davion the way that he does, but my goodness, man, that dude ain't even here no more, and James will still find a way to drop the people's elbow on Davion Mitchell. But, and we could get to the Davion portion of this. Like, do you look at the Sasha Vezenkov experiment as a failure?
No.
Because I think there's a difference between something not working and something being a failure. Like, a failure means there were stakes.
Yeah, I do too. And I think aside from the high hopes that people had and all the hype or whatever, they didn't really do risk that much or give that much to get Sasha, to get him.
And they were able to get off of whatever they got him or whatever they were supposed to give him. Like, they sent that to Canada.
I think with Sasha, like, failure is maybe a strong word, but it's failure in the sense that they did have plans for him. Like, he did have
it
guaranteed,
felt like it.
He did have guaranteed money. It wasn't, oh, we'll sign you for this year and we'll see, like, team option next. Like, he had guaranteed money. They had plans for him, I think.
Now, I said this at the time, but we were caught up with everybody else. Like, we built our own expectations for this. In moments like this, on July 23rd, when there's no basketball game yesterday, other than a very bizarre, I can't tell you how weird it was to leave a meeting last night at 7 o'clock, walk into the studio to get my stuff, look at the TV, and it was like 113 to 113 in overtime. Like, what the hell is going on up there? You're concluding summer league with an overtime game. But, like, there's no Kings games to talk about. There's no trades, trade deadline, free agency. So there's nothing to talk about. Like, so right here in this moment a year ago, we were sitting around watching EuroLeague basketball. Mm-hmm. And we knew Sasha had ties to the Kings, and we started to build this player up. Not in our imagination, because we were watching it. Mm-hmm. But we were using our imagination as to what that meant for the NBA, and specifically what that meant for Sacramento. It got to the point where we asked if Harrison was going to come off the bench so Sasha could start. And those were our conversations. Ours, you, me, insiders, chatty house. That's what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Mike and Monty might have been like, get him here, see what happens.
The
if it don't work, it don't work.
And
I remind everybody real quick before you, Mike, like the second day of training camp, was like, yeah, I don't know what Sasha's going to do. I don't know if he's going to play. And we're all sitting around like, what's Mike talking about? And now it's like, what did Mike see in 2 hours where he was like, I don't even know if this dude's going
to
play?
Well, Mike seems to like, it feels like. He feels a way about a player,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of where he stays a little bit. You know what I mean? So whatever he wasn't feeling about Sasha, it didn't feel like there was any room for growth, so to speak.
Well.
And we talk, and it at its peak, yes, we were asking the question, would he potentially be in the starting lineup?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think for the most part, it was pretty measured. Like, we look back at the hype for him now. Nobody expected him to be all NBA, be an all-star, or anything else like that. We thought he'd be able to come in and contribute. And like I said, at the peak, we ventured into the territory of, could he start, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be?
Mm-hmm.
That's at his peak. But I don't think it ever got too out of control. We thought he was going to come in here and you know, be like a six-man type guy. And, it didn't happen for one reason or another. I don't know if that was from ability or lack of ability. You know, I thought he just didn't really get
ability or lack of opportunity?
Yeah, well, I don't know if him not being this super sub or something like that was because he couldn't do it.
Hmm.
Right? It might have been the lack of opportunity.
Hmm.
And it could have been injury, too. He got hurt pretty bad.
He did.
And was out.
You told him to get well, and he kind of told you.
And on that part, kick rocks.
Hey, get better, Sasha.
All right. Whatever, jerk.
That is a shoot. That really happened.
He a fan. Man.
That really happened.
Yeah, he had that Devin Carter vibe right
there. Oh, man. Yeah, we got more evidence of Devin Carter.
It's not looking good, man. It's not looking good at all.
Well, so look, I don't know. Do we want to talk about that now, or are we still talking about Sasha?
I don't even know what we're doing.
Clearly.
We're going to do pocket watching? What's going on here?
Sasha, pocket watching.
Well, that's easy. He made the same amount of money he gave up.
I was gonna say -$6 million.
Be the first ever negative.
He just balanced out. He made $6 million last year, gave up $6 million. Yeah, he's at zero.
Dude came to America for a year and some change and made exactly nothing.
made his per diem. That's what he made.
Which isn't true. He made $6 million last year. He didn't have to give that back. He just isn't going to get any money from Toronto to leave.
No, he's not.
Which, hey, salute. I get there's that. As some, I don't remember who said it. That's a different level of homesick right there. I think it was Mrs. Mac 10 that said it. That is a different level. $6 million worth of homesick, boy.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I ain't that sick. I ain't that homesick. But Devin Carter, all right, how do we view this? Is this, because this is what I thought about. It kind of morphed into not a personal thing. It started off as like, yo, you being rude to Trista. Like, we ain't for that.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't having that. To, he clearly has a hang up with this Black Air Force thing. And anybody, if his mom would have been like, you got that Black Force Air Force energy, he would have reacted the same way. Clearly, for whatever reason, he's got an issue with that.
I can't remember if this is, I think this is clean.
I think so too. I don't think he'd go crazy.
Yeah. So we'll play the sound from you from, and shout out to Bree, Bree's Cupcakery. If you're looking for cupcakes, Bree's Cupcakery has got you. Who alerted us to this, which Trista has chimed in on, and it's your rookie, Devin Carter.
Little combine, the new ones that they gave us. I'm gonna take the tag off. Oh, another thing. A lot of people, you know, they want to say this, that about Black Air Forces. When I wear Black Air Forces, the only time I wear them is if they're Supreme. Because if they're not Supreme, then you're on Black Air Force activity. I'm not on Black Air Force activity. You're Supreme. It's a big difference, y'all. I promise you, it's a big difference. But yeah, man. You ready to go to the combine now?
He really does have a problem with the idea of he would hate Jesse.
Honestly.
He really has an issue of just regular Air Force Ones.
Oops, my bad. He doesn't like the thought. I don't know what this says. Is this saying, and I don't think so. I'm just asking the questions here. I'm a broadcast journalist. Does this say you soft? Because you got a price. I'm not on Black Air Force Energy because I got Supreme. Well, if you're not on Black Air Force Energy, you're on White Air Force Energy.
Well, wait a minute. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But, you know.
It's not the same.
Yeah, what I'm saying. Are you a little finesse? Do you not have that dog in you? You know, what are we doing here? And then if you have Supreme Air Force, are you just I don't know what that says about you.
Yeah, I've never heard this before.
I think it's just the younger generation thing, probably.
Is that what it is? I've never heard.
I mean, I've never like heard anyone say the difference between like they're just Air Forces to me and stuff.
For those who aren't aware of Supreme, it's a tag that's about that big. For those on the radio, it's very small, and it just says Supreme. It's the same exact shoe. Just with a little red tag, white letter says Supreme.
And mind you, without the Supreme tag, it's a $70, $80 shoe. With the Supreme tag, it might be $250.
At a zero.
Yeah, right, or more, right?
Right?
Or a lot more. So, I don't know. I mean, stylist or whatever the case may be? I don't know.
It's still a Black Air Force One.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, off-white Air Force Ones got the tag. Got the writing. It looks like a different shoe. Mm-hmm. In essence, it's an Air Force One, but there's a lot added to it.
Well, I think if you do through the Supreme sticker or whatever you want to call that thing, it does add some price. Like it adds a little bit of whatever you want to call that, some added value, I guess.
It takes it
a notch up. It's not just regular Black Air Forces.
It's a status thing, like for sure. Like it's 100%.
Maybe he's just
it's
saying
kind
I got
of
this
a
fashion
flex.
Down.
Yeah, it's kind of a flex. It's like, yo,
Look, I don't mean to be that guy, but okay, settle down. It's only $170 with the Supreme tag. Like he talking like he got some, you know what I mean? Like he got the exclusive Louis joints or something like that. If he got the Dior Air Force One, Black Air Force, settle down.
I also wanted out that you said it's a $70, $80 shoe. It's about $110 now for Air Forces.
Oh, that makes it even worse for him.
Figure it out, Nike.
So that sticker's worth $60.
I guess now.
All right, dude. Those ain't even as expensive as the shorts KC had on at the park the other day.
Well, settle down. I told you what happened with those. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Regardless. Offshore or not. Offshore is the way to go if you can do it.
I'm a bargain shopper. I'm a bargain shopper.
That is so weird. Our rookie, I think, is weird. I think that's just what it boils down to.
Devin, come on, man. Devin just needs to just, you know, we just need to talk to Devin, man. Just he'd probably get mad that we even talking about this.
Probably. Well, that's not my problem, pal.
Don't talk to me, bro. Come on, Devin. We just trying to.
Shoe's really $150.
Yeah, the basis of it all, Devin. Now, okay. Now, look.
I'll, is there like a different one that's like 2,000? Nope. Well, 160. Nope.
If he wears a 12 and a half on StockX, it's $445, which is crazy. It's more than $170, $180 everywhere. But if you wear a 12 and a half, it's $445.
There's an 8 and a half for $130 at Walmart. Well, that's a shoot with the Supreme.
Well.
Yeah, Nike's got them right now, the regulars, for $115.
That's crazy.
$115, the shelf price for the Supreme joints?
For the regulars.
Oh, for the regulars.
Stop buying Air Forces, too. This is everyone else's fault.
They ain't gone up, man. And I saw, man, speaking of, them bread Jordan 1s coming back out, they're going to be $250. That's crazy. They're going to be $250.
I just stumbled on a replica shoe site. It's called Pedal.
I was about to say DH Gate.
It's called Pedal Pedal Driven. The problem is, I think they make replicas of shoes that don't exist.
Well, that's where you get into an issue.
I'm looking at I've never seen this black. Like, this is just a very poorly made replica. This is one where if someone wore it, you made fun of them. like, what are those? What are you doing?
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with reps or UAs, but just make sure you do your homework. That's all I say. I don't judge. Just do your homework.
Yeah, don't get a replica of a shoe that doesn't exist, because then it's not a replica.
Homework.
This is wild. Oh, man. Hey, but shout out to Devin and his Supremes.
Oh, man. Hey, man, Devin, when you get back in town, if you left, man, holler at your boys, man. Let's work this thing out. You know, obviously, you see a difference between the Supreme Air Forces and regular Air Forces. That's your bag. But look, man, let's just make sure we all on the same page here. TK, that's the homegirl. You know what I mean? We got love for people out here that have black Air Force energy. It's not a knock. It's not a sign of disrespect.
That's a Mark Jones staple.
Yeah, it's love. Let's just get on the same page. You know what I mean?
We'll get Mark to ask him about it.
He'll be nice to Mark.
Well, he should have been nice to TK.
He should have been. Yeah, he should have been. I don't know.
If TK's new crew had been, there would have been problems.
Yo, Trish. Okay, Trish, what's this guy? Yo,
no, that's your fault.
This guy talking
about? Let the guy cook. Let him cook.
Like, I'm just saying, like, you could say he got black Air Force energy and he don't really want to hear. I'm telling you right now, Devin Carter, you need to know black Air Force energy is what you need to be on. That's what you need to be on. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Trist, tell him he needs to be on that black Air Force energy. Pause. It's just one of those things that he has to know. If you go into Sacramento, that's what you got to do.
The impression goes on so long. This is your fault.
You throw the alley-oop and you expect him out to dunk it. Yes, you did. You threw it off the backboard. It was a great alley-oop.
KC and his 10 impressions back here on ESPN 1320. You're full of crap. Like, because you're taking a situation. I don't know why, but we're talking about Blake Griffin.
He's been taking shots at Blake for like the last 3 weeks, to be honest. I think you're on vacation.
I think it was clipped. Like, I think it was clipped. He saw Donald Sterling leading Blake around at that party, and he's
your Lakers bias really seeps out.
I ain't got no problem with Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin has some nice things to say about Sacramento too at the that little golf tournament that always happened. I saw that clip
in Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even.
It was like
2 weeks
ago or something like that.
No, yeah, I didn't know he was there.
I think it was the week of the DeRozan signing, so they asked him about that. Like Kevin John asked.
Oh,
him
okay,
something like that.
Okay. No, we were discussing Blake you know, the recruitment that the... So this all started, Jesse said, did you see what Paul George said?
Yeah, Paul did a little too much.
Paul was throwing shade at the Los Angeles Clippers. Listening to... I like Paul George a lot. Mm-hmm. Listening to him talk about this was a little... It was kind of weird. But it got to... He threw shade at the Clippers, and then I don't know why Blake Griffin came up, but then Blake came up.
Undeserved. Casey was like, he sucks, Blake Griffin.
What happened? No, we talked about it because it was something about the Clippers or whatever the case may be, and like, no, because Steve Ballmer said something very nice or whatever.
That's what I said. It was like Steve Ballmer kind of took the high road and was like, yeah, I really like. Well, obviously, we really, really wanted him here, but he had to do what was best for him.
And it reminded me.
It sucks, but that's what he did.
It reminded me of when Ballmer tried to take the high road with Blake Griffin, and he ran right by him and didn't shake his hand.
That was funny.
And that's that came up, I think, while you were out, like that clip or something like that. So that's how we started talking about it. And everybody, oh, poor Blake Griffin. How did they do Blake Griffin that way? And I said, did the check clear?
There's no way. Yeah. So I don't think you have to go like extreme and say poor Blake Griffin.
That's what's being said, though.
I thought. Okay.
They
did Blake Griffin dirty.
They did him dirty. Poor Blake Griffin.
They did do him dirty. They did do him dirty.
And I said, did the check clear?
Like, there's more to it than just the check clearing.
So this is my.
They recruited him.
Uh huh.
And they did this whole ceremony to get him to sign there.
Mm-hmm.
They offered him the maximum amount of money, but they did this whole, we see you as this, we see you as this. And like the very first day they could trade him, they did.
So, and my retort to that or whatever the case may be is, everybody gets all sentimental about that or whatever the case may be. And they'd be like, because I say, did the check clear, then that it should be okay. But if they would have done all of that, if the max they could give him was 250, if he made 250 off that contract.
It was 171.
If it's 171. It was 171 he could have made. That was the max he could get. And they did all that stuff. Recruited him, retired his jersey, put him on the video board like it's he got game and all this other stuff. And said, Blake, we only giving you $100 million. Is he signing?
Nobody would do that.
Yeah,
it's not about that. It's about the money they were giving him.
But they wouldn't have done that.
Why wouldn't they have done that?
Why would you have? Why would you have gone through that whole process to offer him $70 million less than
because
what
that's what matters, right?
Well, no,
that's what matters is all they retired.
No, because then that turns into, hey, we're going to give you a $75 million pay cut, but here's a stupid ass jersey and a Raptors. Yeah, that's different. It's everything.
But that's what matters.
That's so disrespectful.
But that's why it was so disrespectful, right? Not because of the contract.
No,
it was disrespectful because they did that.
It wouldn't all go.
How about this? Yeah, it's all of it in one. If they just offered him the contract or whatever, like, hey, like we could trade you or like just trade him without telling like you're going to be here for life, all this stuff, like whatever, like trading him after 6 months is crazy, but that's different. But you did this whole show and dance for him or whatever, and
I think part of it is it felt like they signed him just for the purpose of trading him, which is like, why would you go through all of that? Like something for the future of your franchise changed so drastically in 6 months. You had planned. Now, his contract was for 5 years. I really believe a lot of general managers sign those contracts knowing, hey, we got 3 years to really make this work. So, and we'll go on that in 3 years. Mm-hmm. Something about your 3-year vision for your team changed so drastically in 6 months?
Maybe it was the medicals. I think, Blake, we looked at the stats or whatever. I think it was really good. That first year in Detroit, I think he was pretty good the second year and got hurt in the middle of that. And he was kind of never, I think he was
but
never really
But Blake missed
same.
His whole rookie year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his whole rookie year.
I feel like Casey just hit us in the back with chairs or whatever. Like, I'm Dean Ambrose, you're Roman, and he's just standing with Triple H at this point.
There's always a plan B.
Yeah.
And plan B was send his punk ass
I can't
to
believe
the Pistons.
It.
I'm not... Number one, my whole thing is, and that was a little unprecedented. So I will be transparent in that. But
yeah, he was an all-star. It looks like that's his second year in Detroit.
His second year in Detroit. His first year he was bought. When did he average like 24 or 5?
Very good.
Like that?
Yeah. Well, hold on. You know how they Detroit. So it looks like 21, the year he was traded, is what he averaged. and then 19.8 the second year, 24.5 was the third year.
Mm. So he was, I mean, he was.
And then J. Cole, the fall off was a bit vicious after that.
And he got traded, and you said 21?
From Detroit?
From the Clippers to Detroit.
No, that was like 2017, I think. Yeah, 2017.
Trying to remember what 18, they were 17, doing 18. At the time to make them think that that was
the Clippers. Yeah, I can't remember either. I was trying to think of that as I was blurting that out, and I can't remember what that team was doing.
Hell, Chris Paul was even gone at that point, huh?
Chris was, where? With, Houston?
Yeah, he was with the Houston in 2017. No, he was in Houston in 2019. So Chris Paul was probably there in LA still.
Chris Paul, 17, 18. No, you're right. 17, it happened. So it might have happened at the same time. 17, 18, he's with the Rockets.
He spent 2 years in Houston, huh?
17, 18, he played 58 games with the Rockets. Mm. 18, 19, he played 58 games with the Rockets. Then Thunder, Suns, Warriors.
And ironically, I think that Clippers team was the scrappy one that made the eighth seed. The one that without Blake Clippers and team. Without Chris Paul.
Okay.
And pushed the Warriors, quote unquote, pushed the Warriors to six games.
Okay.
So I don't really know what the direction was. That was Lou Will, Montrezl Harrell going crazy off the bench. I'm trying to even think of who else was on that team.
This was 17, 18. Let's see if I can find. Well, that didn't help. That just brought up Blake Griffin statistics. Blake. Blake had missed. Well, maybe this was a part of it. So Blake started pretty. Oh, God, he was all over the place the first 19 games of the season. Then he missed 14 games, came back, played five, was on fire, missed two, and then played, looks like about eight, nine more games with the Clippers, and then he's traded. And he's with Detroit. Yeah, I don't know what the Clippers were doing that year.
Let's see.
It's just, I think you used this word a second ago. It was extreme. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that before.
That was a trip. That was crazy.
Now, we've said it because we know it's reality. Some guys will sign that contract with the intent at some point of asking to leave. Mm-hmm. 6 months in is a little drag. I think that's a shoot.
And look. We don't say
poor. Dame still got like 9 years on his deal in Milwaukee.
We don't say poor Blazers, or they were trying to say that during the summer though. Like, oh, he did the Blazers dirty. Oh, he didn't. The Blazers gave him the money.
Yeah, the Blazers.
They knew what they were stepping into.
Yeah, they had
what
to
time
have
known. It was.
Yeah, they had to have known.
So my thing is consistently poor nobody. Everybody knows what they're getting involved in.
Yeah, I think
Kenny playing neutral again. I'm tired of this. You did the same thing with Drake and Kendrick. Enough. Pick a damn side.
Well, no, everybody knows what side he.
No, he's we know
everybody side. Everybody knows. No, stop it. Stop saying that.
You're with Drake and you're with Joe Lacob. Me and Dan are with Kendrick and the players.
That's right.
Look. I got love for the players. I don't really got love for the owners, but I understand their plight. I got love for Drake and Kendrick.
I don't doubt that.
The only owner I like is Uncle V. That's it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.